Hi, this is Iking Reyes, and you're on The Inspiring Leader. It's a podcast where we talk about things and stuff about work, life, and learning. Our guest for this episode is the Executive Director of the Jesse M. Robredo Foundation, Dr. Janine Patricia Robredo. Patricia is a primary health physician and a public health advocate in the Philippines. She is involved in various initiatives that strive to improve delivery of quality healthcare, such as providing accessible medical aid to indigent Filipinos and consulting for research on public health. Trisha obtained her bachelor's degree in health sciences from the Ateneo de Manila University in 2014 and finished her medical degree and master's degree in business administration from the Ateneo School of Medicine and Public Health. Trisha, thank you for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Boss Rick. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It's been a year since you started your practice as a physician. Where did the inspiration of becoming a doctor actually came from? And what are your plans for your medical career in the future?
I think I shared this before. Dati hindi ko pa siya sinasabi openly kasi ayoko naman i-put into bad light kahit sino. Pero because we're openly talking about it na, sa totoo lang po, hindi ko naman ginusto maging doktor nung umpisa. But the thing is, when I was trying to apply for an undergrad major or yung course po sa college, I was around 14, 15. Kaya at the time, I felt na I was so young, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So naturally, I was inclined to ask my parents na parang ano bang pwede nating gawin. Isa po sa frustrations ng mom ko is maging doktor. Yung kinikwento niya sa amin dati, nag-apply siya for college. She was gonna do BS Bio na, pero last minute, naging econ siya. So parang I think yung mom ko mas aggressive into encouraging me to become a doctor. To the point na bordering, pinipilit niya na ako na ituloy talaga yung pagdodoktor. Ang daming beses na gusto ko nang mag-quit. Kasi po parang na napagtanto ko na gusto ko talaga pagsusulat. So I wanted to pursue journalism. My mom would have let me, but then I knew deep down that she wanted me to become a doctor. Eh ako po, honestly, parang sa akin, ano ako eh, mahalagang mahalaga yung pamilya ko sa akin. And I understood the kind of investment that was already put into my education as a physician. So I decided to pursue the path. It wasn't easy. Ang daming beses na gusto ko po talagang kumalas. Pero nung nagsimula na akong mag-ikot sa mga ospital, makahawak at makita ng mga pasyente, I realized that I was where I was supposed to be. So natuwa naman po ako sa tinahak nating daan. At dapat po mag-specialize akong internal medicine, no? Yun po talaga yung plan originally. Pero ang daming nangyari the past couple of months, alam naman natin. Tapos dun po, medyo na na-realize ko din na maraming mga plano na kailangan ma-delay muna. Kasi may mga laban muna na kailangan labanin. So, postponed muna yon pero hindi ibig sabihin na hindi pwedeng mabalikan. So, hopefully, maging internist pa rin po tayo. Pero syempre, with more preference to pursuing the public health track. Once I specialize or after I specialize.
You've been doing a lot of volunteer work related to the pandemic response. What were some of the important life lessons you learned with your experience as a first responder?
Ang dami po eh. Ako po kasi when I passed the boards, I was a COVID baby, COVID boards baby. So lahat po kami, internship year ko was the start of the pandemic. So kinuha ko po yung boards gitna ng COVID. So naturally, when we passed the boards, it did not feel right for me to not work agad. Kasi alam kong kailangan kami. So yung una ko pong ginawang trabaho, nakatawa yun. Ah, hindi alam ng mga tao, nung bago akong pasa ng boards, lahat ng klaseng trabaho na pwede ibigay sa doktor, talagang hinanap ko. Because apart from answering the call of duty, I wanted to start earning for myself na rin. Kasi tagal ko na pong nakadepende sa pamilya ko, nahihiya na rin naman ako. So kahit anong trabaho na nandyan, kukunin po talaga, whether it be annual physical exams sa isang fish port sa Navotas o pagsaswab. And more recently and more regularly, ginagawa ko yung emergency room duties. Tapos yung OVP po nag-roll out ng several initiatives. Nag-volunteer ako to be part of the core team. Ano, iba-iba siya eh. Iba-iba po talaga yung learnings natin. Number one, hindi na ako ganun ka-sheltered. Alam ko na yung kalakaran talaga. Nakakalungkot yung healthcare sa Pilipinas. At mas nakita ko yun nung pumunta ako saan-saan. Na yung mga pasyente na tatanggap ko, pumupunta ng ospital, nagpapatingin sa doktor, medyo late in the game na. Not because ayaw nila, pero dahil wala silang pera para magpagamot o para makakita ng doktor. Sa OVP po yung mga volunteer initiatives naman namin, ang dami pong cases na namamatay sa mga bahay without even seeing or consulting with a doctor kasi wala talagang pera. So, I think yung first year ko po as a physician na sumakto sa pandemic, pinamukha nun sa akin na nasa privileged position talaga ako na kung magkasakit ako, kaya kong pumunta sa clinic or kaya kong tumawag ng doktor. O dahil doktor ako ngayon, ang dami kong pwedeng ibang matawagan. So, while it made me grateful sa mga biyaya na dumarating sa akin, medyo nakaka-guilty din in a sense na bakit parang yung iba hindi nakuha yung same privileges na meron ko. And it's not because hindi sila masipag o because may pagkukulang sila. Pero sometimes yung reality is pinalad lang talaga ako na nasa ganito akong sitwasyon. So parang apart from making me realize those things, parang mahihirapan ka din or nakakonsensya na hindi ka, parang it's wrong not to give back, especially after seeing what you've seen. So ayun po talaga, pinakita sa akin yung realities ng Pilipinas at kung ano pa yung mga dapat kong gawin. At siguro ngayon na hindi na ako estudyante, mas na-realize ko na kailangan ko magtrabaho kasi kung hindi ko yan galawin, walang ibang gagawa niyan for me. So, ayun, dami nun. Pero yun po yung mga some of the things na mga natutunan ba talaga.
Very few people, Trisha, will be able to truly relate to you being a vice presidential daughter. What are the things that make you feel like a regular person? And what are the things that remind you that you are the daughter of the vice president of the Republic of the Philippines?
Well, kami po magkakapatid kasi we try not to think about it and as much as possible. Parang iniisip namin na yung pagbibisip po ng nanay ko, pati po yung naging mayor pa lang yung tatay ko sa Naga. Yung mindset namin always is trabaho lang nila yon. In a sense na hindi namin nakikita na parang nasa pedestal sila dahil ang public official sila. But it's more of parang kung yung tatay ng kaibigan ko ay doktor. Parang ganun din yung tingin namin sa trabaho ng parents namin. So, hindi ko din po i-deny na may mga pagkakataon na mas napapamukha sa akin yung trabaho nila. Katulad, for example, magpapakilala ka sa ospital o magpapakilala ka sa mga tao tapos sabihin nila, how are you related to this person? And that, ano na magsinungaling ka at magsabing, ah, hindi ko siya kamag-anak. So, parang may mga oras po na ganun. May mga oras din na hihirit sila na parang baka naman pwedeng pa-financial assistance dyan. Na sometimes it gets uncomfortable kasi ibang tao ka naman sa magulang mo. But that's something that we had to learn how to accept na it's part of it. May mga pagkakataon din po sa ospital na naririnig ko randomly may pupuna sa nanay ko about something they read while they were waiting in line in the clinic. So yung mga ganong mga pagkakataon po nararamdaman namin na yun, yung magulang namin na yung magulang namin. Pero honestly ako po, natutuwa ako kapag nasa ospital ako, kapag nasa trabaho ako. Kasi ako po yung conscious effort ko, hindi ako nagpapakilala bilang Dr. Robredo. Ang pakilala ko po sa kanila ay ako po si Dr. Trisha, anong may tutulong ko sa inyo. With that sense of anonymity, especially dahil may mga mask tayo ngayon at face shield sa hospital, so di naman naman nakikita yung mukha ko, nahirap akong mukhaan. Nagagawa ko po ng maayos yung trabaho ko without that hinge na anak ako ng nanay ko. So, may moments pa rin na nagiging Trisha ako without the Robredo or hindi yun yung naka-highlight. So, ayun.
Your mother has been the consensus favorite, no? At least within my social media circle among the candidates for president this coming 2022 elections. What do you think are the qualities that set our dear vice president apart from the rest?
I think ayoko munang magbasag trip naman, pero yun, yung nakikita natin sa social media natin. I don't know if it's an echo chamber. Hopefully not. Hopefully, dumami pa rin siya. Pero ako, yun din, yung pakiusap ko din po siguro sa mga taong nasa circle natin o nasa mga groups natin, na sana ipakilala nila yung nanay ko the way they know my mom. Pero siguro yun yung gagawin ko ngayon. And gagawin ko siya in the lenses of Lenny as my mother rather than Lenny as a VP. Kasi alam ko very effective siya as a vice president, pero feeling ko she excels the most at becoming our mother and raising 3 kids and raising a very beautiful household na sobrang ramdam talaga yung pagmamahal sa isa't isa. Ako po kasi ever since, nakita ko how busy my parents have been, but then nakita ko rin how involved they are with our lives. So parang yung mom ko po, kahit sobrang deep into NGO work sa back when we were in Naga, hindi ko nararamdaman na may kahati ako sa oras niya. Kasi parang minimake sure niya if she cares for one person or if she cares about what you're doing, talagang full effort din siya doon. Dadalhin niya kami sa swim trainings namin, siya maghahatid sundo. Minsan yung mga assignments namin, hindi naman siya yung gagawa, pero ahandain niya na yun para ituro sa amin. Gagawa siya ng mga outlines, gagawa siya ng mga sample tests. Itututor niya talaga kami. So, very hands-on siya. Na parang minsan, to the smallest detail, ginagawa niya at minimake sure niya na pati kami niintindihan namin. And I see this quality, nag-translate siya sa Office of the Vice President. Having volunteered in her office, at nagugulat ako sometimes the amount of details she remembers. Na parang iisipin mo yung trabaho niya or yung ginagawa niya looking from parang macroscopic view na lang siya of everything given everything that she has to digest and understand. Pero very involved pa rin siya sa subcommittees, how small the groups are. And she wants to make sure that she knows what's going on. At kung may kailangan ayusin, na ayusin niya kahit siya mismo yung gagawa. And that's something I really admire sa mom. Kuna sana makuha ko din na she doesn't spread herself thinly pero ang dami niya pa rin nagagawa. And sometimes that amazes me a lot. And I guess another thing that I like about my mom is the past 6 years nakita naman natin kung gano'ng kagrabe yung criticism sa kanya na ang dami niyang bashers, ang dami niyang haters. Pero she remains unfazed. Na parang para sa kanya, hindi pa rin nawawala yung core niya at hindi pa rin nawawala sa kanya yung mga dapat gawin na kahit it's unpopular opinion, kung naniniwala talaga siya na yun yung tama at yun yung dapat, gagawin niya talaga yun kahit no matter how much bashing she will get from the outside world. And ako yung sense of direction and yung sense of guidedness niya, ito yung isa sa mga bagay na gusto ko din makuha sa kanya. And yun yung mom ko po talaga, ang sipag niya, na yung community work niya very extensive. So I think one of the reasons kung bakit nakaka-provide siya ng maayos na solusyon, kasi nahikinig siya sa mga nangyayari sa baba at hindi niya inaasahan na yung staff niya yung gagawa nito. Minimake sure niya na kasama niya yung staff niya. Or hindi siya uutas ng isang bagay na hindi niya kayang gawin siya mismo at nakikita natin siya sa ground. And I think that sense of exposure is what makes her effective in the work she does now. So, yun yung pagiging inclusive niya din. Ayun, ang dami ko lang nasabi. Pero yun yung top of head na mga bagay na gusto ko sa kanya na sana makuha ko rin as I age and as I grow up.
As the daughter of high-profile and well-respected public servants, has the passion of working in government actually rubbed off of you or any of your sisters?
Well, in fact, my older sister po has worked for the government after my dad passed. Nag-DOTC siya and then disaster po siya. Ako, honestly, when I graduated from college, I think nung time po na yun, time po yun ni President, ni Pinoy, at nakikita ko ang dami mga kabataan talaga nag-gravitate towards government service. And to tell you quite frankly, that was something that I wanted to do rin, or something I wanted to explore. But at the time, ayun po, yung kapatid ko nandun na, tapos yung nanay ko naman po nasa Congress, ayoko masyadong maraming robredo yung nasa gobyerno kasi hindi po talaga yun yung gawain namin. Pero yung pinag-realize din po sa amin ng mga magulang namin that you don't have to be in government to serve the public. And you can still do public service sa pamamaraan na pinaka-effective ka at sa tingin mo pinaka ka, makakatulong ka. And sa akin po, nakita ko yun sa health. Pumasok siya sa health. So instead of working in the government, I worked in the health sector. And I think mas tugma din po siya sa kakayahan ko. Kaya mas nakatulong din ako sa field na yun. I would never know because I've never joined the government. Pero at least now, medyo buo po yung loob ko na yung gusto ko naman na servisyo dahil nakita ko ginagawa ng mga magulang ko. And that was something I wanted to do also. Mukhang natatranslate naman po siya sa line of work na ginagawa ko ngayon.
I've actually used up my questions, but before we end the podcast, I'd like to ask you to maybe give some words of encouragement for any listener out there who would like to make their own mark in the world.
Marami pong misconception ng mga tao sa akin o sa mga kapatid is that we have everything figured out. Gusto ko lang sila i-reassure na pati kami may mga panahon na feeling namin nawawala kami sa parang nalulost kami. Ano ba yung gusto kong gawin? Ano yung kailangan kong gawin? Pero parang yung pinaka siguro words of encouragement na pwede ko sa kanilang maibigay is that you have to take your steps in the dark. Nabasa ko to sa isang Instagram post before, and that's something I really tried to look back on whenever I feel a bit lost, na basta ako gagalaw lang ako, hindi ko alam kung saan ako papunta, pero alam ko na as long as mabuti ako, as long as ginagawa ko kung ano sa tingin ko yung hinihingi sa akin sa araw na yon, para sa akin it doesn't always have to be grand. Even the small steps that you take, when they add up, you will realize na you are slowly trying to make your mark. And hindi kailangan na, it doesn't have to be loud, it doesn't have to be grand. Hindi kailangan, or hindi tayo dapat magpa-pressure sa nakikita natin na ginagawa ng iba. Minsan, pinaka-effective tayo when we stay true to ourselves and when we do what we think. Yung ano talaga natin, yung when we play to our strengths and we acknowledge our weaknesses, doon pa lang, doon na nagsisimula yung pag-make natin ng difference, yung pag-make natin ng mark. So ayun, siguro yung pinaka-words of encouragement ko talaga sa kanila is keep going, we don't have it all figured out, but we have to have faith that we will in due time. Pero hindi tayo pwedeng matakot, we can't let fear paralyze us. We just have to keep moving, and you have to keep moving forward.
That's it for today. Let me know what you think, send in some questions, and perhaps share this episode with people you know who might be interested to listen. Till the next episode, cheers!